But first to the West African country of Mali, which has found itself involved in the continuing aftermath of the genocide in Rwanda.
The Ugandan government puts the number of bodies polluting the lake in the tens of thousands. Many of the corpses had their hands and legs tied together and had suffered a violent death. Some had been hacked up by machete. Lake Victoria is an important water source and fishing is a major economic activity. Ugandan volunteers have already been on the lake shore collecting mutilated bodies and wrapping them in plastic sheeting for the semblance of a decent burial. The Rwandan rebel army says its advance is to stop the killing by the government militias, who began their work shortly after the president, who had trained them, was killed in a plane crash last month. The militias killed ethnic Tutsis, the tribe from which the rebels draw most support, and Hutus, who were opponents of the late president. Estimates of the number killed vary from 200,000 to 500,000.
As described in this graphic news report from 1994, in the immediate aftermath of the killings, many thousands of bodies littered the countryside. The International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda was set up to bring those responsible to justice. Late last year, the tribunal sent six Rwandans found guilty of crimes against humanity to serve their sentence in Mali, which had originally agreed to take only five but accepted the unexpected sixth arrival. At the central prison in Mali's capital Bamako, all six are now housed in special facilities prepared with UN financial help. However, as Joan Baxter reports from Bamako, there's concern whether Mali can really afford keeping these prisoners, particularly as they're all reportedly HIV positive.
Bamako's central prison is to be found in one of the oldest and most squalid neighborhoods in the city. And it has to be said that the prison building in front of me on this rutted, dusty road fits right in, with its grimy brown walls and tiny barred windows. It's mealtime, and family members of Malian inmates are thronging the prison to deliver bowls of food to their relatives locked up inside. There are over 1,300 Malians inside this prison. They're crammed into grim concrete chambers, no fewer than 20 men per cell. And they have to pay for their own keep by producing and selling crafts or metalwork. The Malian state, which can hardly look after its non-criminal population, has no budget for feeding or healing Malian prisoners. But inside these prison walls are six high-profile convicts whom the Malian prison authorities are expected to look after. They were sent here in December last year by the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. And it's here that they will serve out their prison sentences, four of them for life, for their role in the Rwandan genocide. Prison Director Mamuru Dumbia says they've turned out to be an expense Mali can hardly afford.
We are confronted by enormous difficulties. Of the six Rwandans, four are ill, and one of them seriously ill. He has to be taken out all the time for medical consultations, and we have one vehicle, but it's very old. So all that causes enormous difficulties.
The prison authorities feel that the United Nations and the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda should have informed the Malian government that the convicts were ill and made arrangements to cover those costs. Bala Kante is the nurse in Bamako Central Prison.
They sent us very sick men. I can't tell you exactly what they have because I'm bound to respect professional secrets. But I can say they have serious illnesses that are highly contagious and very expensive to treat. We really have serious problems trying to look after them.
While Kante was unable to reveal what illnesses the Rwandans had, prison authorities had no qualms. They said that four of the six convicts are HIV positive, and some also suffer from diabetes, tuberculosis, and pneumonia. And the United Nations mission from the International Tribunal that sent the prisoners to Mali didn't make any provisions at all for medical care, as Bala Kante explains.
Our first aid post is empty. When the UN mission came, our doctors did everything to try to get them to see they needed to do something, not just for the Rwandan prisoners, but also for the Malians here. We tried everything to get them to understand our problem, but we weren't able to get them to equip our health post. So we have serious problems looking after their prisoners.
Although I was not permitted to take recording equipment into the prison, I was allowed to meet five of the Rwandan convicts. Former Rwandan Prime Minister Jean Kambanda told me that while they're very grateful to the Malian prison authorities for their kindness and efforts, he feels the UN tribunal has sent him to Bamako to die. None looks ill, but they complain bitterly about the heat and the difficult conditions in the Bamako prison. And yet, compared with the dismal conditions faced by the Malian prisoners here, the Rwandans can count themselves very lucky. Four of the six have individual cells, replete with overhead fan, private toilet, and bed. Thanks to $40,000 worth of renovations, paid for by the United Nations, they also have a special dining and recreation area, with a fresh coat of yellow paint and a television set. The UN pays Mali $60 a month per prisoner for food, telephone, and newspapers, amenities that Malians can only dream of. And on the streets of Bamako, this causes resentment.
C'est carrément incompréhensible que dans un pays pauvre comme le nôtre, qu'on fasse venir loger.
It's completely incomprehensible that a poor country like ours plays host to people like that. Big-time criminals, war criminals in fact, side by side with our brothers and sisters, who maybe out of desperation committed some crimes. In fact, we should have kept our distance from such people, real war criminals. It's really unjust. We should have kept our distance, and I think they should be thrown out of Mali.
Others who didn't wish to speak into the microphone alleged that their president, Alpha Omar Konaré, agreed to take the Rwandan prisoners, perhaps to ingratiate himself with the international community, without thinking of the consequences for Mali. And prison authorities maintain that their government did a poor job of negotiating terms of the agreement with the Rwanda Tribunal and the UN, which they say are not doing nearly enough to help Mali care for these controversial prisoners from a very different part of Africa.
That report from Bamako by Joan Baxter. And as she says, Mali is far away from Central Africa. So why send six Rwandan prisoners all the way there? Kingsley Mahalu is legal advisor to the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda.
That's a good question. The International Criminal Tribunal, the